7,000 miles away from my native Singapore, and there I was on a cold and rainy autumn morning in southeast Dorset, in an area known as the Isle of Purbeck. My destination? Corfe Castle. The tourist brochures had directed me to park at this location, 6 miles out of the seaside town of Swanage. The signboard read Norton Park and Ride, but there was little else to indicate what sort of journey I was about to embark on. A journey on board a preserved steam railway, but even more, a journey back in time. There's something inherently romantic, clichéd as it may sound, about travelling in a train built in an age when the concept of the internet was not yet even embryonic. How ironic. I had come to the UK to experience all things modern and progressive, and yet here I was being deliciously lured to explore the past. Standing on the platform at Swanage Railway's Norden Station, it's obvious that every effort has been put into making the station look authentic. Tucked in a corner, some leather suitcases piled onto rusty barrows. Hanging on the fences, an enamel sign screaming, "Craven A cigarettes, for your throat's sake." Hardly politically correct the side of the 20th century. But political correctness does not exist in the world of Noddy, which is the world you step into here. The toy-sized ticket office is a picture straight out of a Noddy storybook. Glaringly vivid colours, in this case emerald green doors, contrasted brightly against the more subdued straw-coloured walls. Actually, it literally is straw. The walls of all the railway offices at Norden have been built using the medieval technique of cob, that is, using mud, gravel and straw. Back in the land of Noddy, a kindly old ticket seller sits in the booth in full station regalia, greeting passengers with good old-fashioned hospitality. Ask for a ticket to Corfe Castle, and don't be surprised when you hear, "Oh, no charge, love, just hop on. Corfe is only 2 minutes down the track, and train's coming soon." And so it was. First a speck on the verdant horizon, and then as the locomotive looms into view, billowing smoke starts to obscure the Purbeck landscape, even as the breathless puffing engulfs the aural landscape. Then that final grind to a halt. 1955 British Rail Standard, Class 4T, number 80104, reporting for duty. You can almost hear the engine say with a burst of pride. The excitement's infectious. It doesn't matter which station of life you're at, young, old, middle-aged, foreign tourist, railway fanatic, the universal delight of childlike wonder will overcome you. Noddy really does exist, after all, for one fleeting moment, before the lurch of the locomotive rouses you back to reality. It's no more than 1 mile from Norden to Corfe, Corfe referring to both village and castle. The castle is a National Trust property, one of Britain's most majestic ruins. It's easy to be mesmerised by the serenity here, but during the English Civil War, the scene could not have been more different. The year was 1646. Corfe Castle was taken through treachery and soon after systematically blown up by parliamentary decree. 3.5 centuries later, the castle continues to cast its spell. Visitors who arrive by train usually prefer to board the train at Swanage, since that gives a longer ride. But be it Swanage or Norden, the sense of adventure is the same. Arriving in a steam train, stumbling out of a period carriage, and stepping into Enid Blyton country. At first, I couldn't quite put my finger to it. The mist, the circling birds, the desolate castle ruins up on a hill. It was only later, strolling through the picturesque Corfe village, that I stumbled upon Ginger Pop, a specialty shop dedicated to Enid Blyton. So that's what it was. Kirin Castle of Famous Five fame staring me in the face. It all came tumbling back now, those nostalgic hours adventuring with Julian, Dick, Little Anne, and their tomboy cousin George, of course, with a dog Timmy. All this way before Harry potted in. The magic of that afternoon's discovery remains with me still. Corfe Station would have very much been on Blyton's mind as he wrote about the Famous Five's train arrivals to their next adventure. The first public train on this line was in 1885, 12 years before Blyton was born. And although British Railways closed the line in 1972, a group of enthusiasts successfully lobbied for a railway licence 3 years later. Arriving at Corfe Station, it's hard to imagine it's only been 10 years since train services resumed on the line. The station has been lovingly restored to as near original condition as possible. Walk in on a chilly autumn day, and you'll even get to enjoy the warmth of a crackling log fire. Huddle in the small waiting room, perhaps sit on one of the hard wooden benches there, and the illusion of a Victorian station is complete. Perhaps reminiscent of Blyton's literary contributions, the antique wheelbarrows on the station platform have been put to a use Blyton herself would have approved of. Second-hand books for sale are placed in them, making for good browsing while waiting for the train. A money collection box sits perched upon a ledge, safely unmanned. Strangely enough, you would expect such a code of honour to prevail here. Perhaps this is the real path we all want to travel on, the return to innocence, the celebration of life, carpe diem, and a renewed hope for a better tomorrow.